Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Would you please read together with me from the screen the title of today's sermon? We need power. Based on Acts chapter 2, our epistle reading from Acts 2, it says, when the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came down from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind. It filled the entire house where they were sitting, and they were filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. Again, our title of the sermon is, We Need Power. And when you came in, you should have received a half sheet insert. If you didn't receive one and want one with a sermon outline, just raise your hand, it'll be brought to you. Now, this isn't a part of your outline, but I was suddenly reminded of a time when I really needed power. I was a brand new seminary student. For the first time, I had my own apartment. No mom, no dad, no classmates in a dormitory. I had an apartment. I was setting it up, and I was getting real hungry, and I decided, what's the go-to meal for every single young guy? Frozen pizza. Oh. So I rushed to the store, brought back some frozen pizza, put it in the oven, and waited, and nothing happened. I couldn't get the oven to cook the pizza. Come on. Oh, man. So finally I broke down and called a repairman. Now, back in those days, in the mid-70s, believe it or not, a repairman was there in 30 minutes. None of this wait 10 years now. He came and took a look at it. He walked behind the oven and he plugged in the electric cord and said, you need power. Oh, my, was I embarrassed. We need power. Like my heater from my office, we get unplugged from the Lord who was our source of power. No wonder we feel weak. Now, here's the sermon outline. If you could make a list of what the church needs today, what would be on your list? We sort of did this in the last few months as we did a congregational self-study in preparation to call in a new pastor. What do we really need? If you could put something on your list of what the church today needs, what would be on your list? Let me tell you, I only have one thing on my list. The church needs power, the power of the Holy Spirit. We don't so need exciting music or new buildings or fun events or large offerings or even a new pastor, as much as we need the power of a Holy Spirit revival in each of our hearts. The church needs power. The church in the city of Richmond needs power. The church in the city of Jerusalem that we read about from Acts 2 needed power. Jesus had just risen in resurrection victory. The whole world was awaiting the message of his victory over sin, death, and the grave, but not a sound could be heard. Why? Because the disciples who had been called by Jesus to spread the message all over the world were hiding for fear in an upper story room, and nobody outside those doors could hear the message. They were hiding from a world who needed the message that Christ is risen, he's risen indeed. Now, right outside the doors of these hiding apostles were people who were spiritually hungry and spiritually dying. But the disciples could not offer their world anything because they had no power. There seemed to be a power outage. But thank God, on that day of Pentecost, something happened that transformed those men into what's described in Acts 17, verse 6, men who turned the world upside down. Now, what happened on that first Pentecost day? The Holy Spirit came in a powerful way. And these men were given God's own Holy Spirit power, and they left their locked room to go out into the world. Now, remember, these were not educated men. They were blue-collar workers, many of them fishermen or common laborers. They spoke no other foreign language. They barely spoke their own language, Hebrew, and probably not very well. Many of them probably couldn't read or write. But by a miracle of God, on that Pentecost day when the Holy Spirit came with power, all of a sudden these men were given God's own power, and by a miracle of God, as we heard in the reading, people from countless countries around the world heard the good news of Jesus in their own languages at the same time, and there was no need for a translator. Have you ever seen on the TV screen the picture of when the United Nations and the leaders of the United Nations meet, and everyone is wearing a what? Because they needed it translated into every language in the world. The miracle of Pentecost was God spoke the gospel in the language of all these people, even though the apostles had no education. How could they do it? Because the Holy Spirit brought power. Listen to Acts chapter 2, verse 7. And there were in Jerusalem devout men from every nation under heaven. They came to Jerusalem for a holiday, for a holy day. And the multitude was amazed because each one was hearing the apostles speak in his own language the mighty works of God. And by the end of the day, Acts chapter 2 tells us, not one, not two, but 3,000 people came to faith in Christ. And those people who were there that day took that gospel message to them, to these places all over the world, and the good news of Jesus spread. There was no power outage. Well, folks, on this Pentecost day, some 2,020 some years later, I'm asking you to join me in prayer that God would give us in the city of Richmond, this congregation, His Holy Spirit power, that we can make a difference in our community. Now, it's so easy for us to become complacent, satisfied, and lazy. It's so easy to not live for Jesus in a world that so desperately needs Him. We can say over these past years, God has been so good to this congregation. He has blessed us in many ways. He has given us His gifts. He's helped us in so many ways. It can become so easy to be lazy and complacent at this time of the congregation and say, well, I'm just going to wait till the new guy comes and I'm wondering what he's going to do. As opposed to the apostles in Acts chapter 2, when the Spirit fell upon them, they could not help but tell their neighbors and their friends the good news of Jesus. Let me ask you a what-if question. What if your life and mine could be changed like St. Peter's by the power of the Holy Spirit? Before this Acts 2 event, the last we heard about Peter, he was denying Jesus not once, not twice, but three times he was denying Jesus before a rooster crowed. And now Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, preaches the sermon all pastors want to preach before they retire. On that day he preached and 3,000 souls came to faith in Christ. That's the power of the Spirit and changed Peter's lives. Now let me ask you a question. Here is a what-if question. And now is not the time to be looking at phones or talking to your neighbor or even nodding off. Now is the time to listen to the Word of God. Let me ask you a what-if question. What if we, as a part of the community here at Trinity Lutheran Church, had somehow discovered a cure for cancer? Let that sink in. What if somehow we here at Trinity Lutheran Church had discovered a cure for cancer? And sharing that cure would mean the end of cancer for all time, and it wouldn't cost anybody anything. It would be absolutely free. What would we do? Share it. My goodness. We'd share it. We'd give it away. We could not keep this cure to ourselves because it would mean life for the world. Well, the truth is, guess what? We have a cure for something much worse than cancer. We have a cure for something that's much worse than any earthly disease. We have a cure for sin and death and grave and hell. What is this cure? His name is Jesus. What was it that Peter preached that 3,000 came to faith in one day? What was it that Peter preached when it says in Acts 17, and they turned the whole world upside down? Here's what they preached. On the cross, Jesus Christ defeated sin and death. On the cross, Jesus defeated the power of the devil. From the tomb, Jesus rose to give his victory for all who have their trust in him. On the cross, Jesus, the precious Son of God, gave his life for you. I'm talking about you today. To settle your eternal account with God. The Bible tells us this about the account we have with God. In the book of Romans, it says, the wages of sin is death. Well, what are wages? Wages are what we earn for the work we do. And the scripture says the wages of our sin is death. But in his love for each of us, God sent his son Jesus to settle our account. For as we trust in Jesus and what he did for us on the cross, your account is settled. And Jesus says to you what he said upon that cross, it is finished. The account and the bill of your sin and death has been paid for. It's done. The Old Testament prophet Isaiah puts it this way. In chapter 53, Isaiah says, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. By his wounds we are healed. My friends, you know probably better than I, there's a lot of healing that's needed in our world today. Sin healing, emotional healing, family healing, society healing, national healing. God can, Jesus Christ can heal Richmond today, and Jesus can heal our world. Will you get the word out? That we might be known as those people who turn the world upside down. Now, with Jesus Christ, as it was true, it wasn't great how quickly Edward saw this. The reason my heater couldn't do anything was because it was unplugged from the power. With Jesus, there is no power outage. Who will get that word out? I want you to think about today what the Lord has done in your life. And if God has somehow blessed you, let the world know it. If he has made for you a way when there was no way, let the world know it. If you were sick and he healed you, let the world know it. If you were laid low but he restored your joy, let the world know it. If the preaching and teaching of God's word from this pulpit has ever moved your heart and your soul and brought you closer to the Savior, then invite others to come here that they may know it. Psalm 107 says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Just imagine. Imagine the impact in our community when each of the 300 members of this congregation, each person, would let one other person know about what Jesus has done for them. And then invite them to this holy place. Please bow your heads with me in prayer. Dear God, today on this day of Pentecost, call down your Holy Spirit upon us that we might have your power to impact our world. Open the doors of our homes and our churches and our hearts so the good news of Christ may spill out into the streets of Richmond and in the world in which we live. Give us a holy burden for all people in need of your love and your healing. Dear Lord, you have blessed us as a congregation, but help us not to be complacent or satisfied. Help us to join the apostles getting out of this upper room. And Lord, give us your power for Jesus' sake, for the sake of the world. And all God's people said, Amen.